Privilege to be with you. And I want to bring greetings from the church in Cove. I've already been very blessed to and challenged with the devotional this morning and the opening thoughts and also the devotional now. Very fitting to what I feel I should talk about this morning. I invite you to the book of Jonah. We're going to look at some lessons from the life of Jonah. I'm not sure what comes to your mind when you think of this book. Anyone care to say? There's probably, I think we're all kind of thinking the same, but someone say it. What's the book of Jonah about?
Being swallowed by a fish.
That's right. It's a fish story, isn't it? But God has some very good, beautiful lessons for us this morning. Every time we look into the scriptures, we can find something that God is telling us today. You know, we can look back on Jonah's life and we can find all kinds of faults or good things that he did. He did some really good things and he did some things that were not good at all. They were wrong. They were wrong to do. And we can see ourselves in his life. You know, if our life probably parallels Jonah's life more than what we want to admit at times. And so this morning, as we think about having a heart that is where God dwells, and being vessels that are sanctified, you know, I just want to put a little bit of history here. Give us a little history on Jonah. This book, I believe, would, in the chronological order, it would be back in 2 Kings somewhere, I believe. And so if we look at 2 Kings 14:23, it says this: in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and reigned 41 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet which was at Gath-Hepher. So we have here the same person being described as what we have in the first few verses of the book of Jonah itself. So in Jonah's day, there was an evil king. There was a lot of idol worship. They wanted to be like others around them. They wanted to be like the nations around them. They wanted to do, they had their king. They had, and therefore they started following more than just the king. They started following the ways of the world around them, of the people, of the ways of their neighbors. And there were two different Jeroboams, and they both did that which was evil. And so here we have the prophet Jonah. He was the son of a prophet, I believe. And if we look at the meaning of Jonah's name, it has the meaning, it says it's his name means dove. Dove, a bird. You know, when we think of the bird, the dove, it's a pretty harmless bird, isn't it? It's a It could, in fact, there's, it's a symbol, I believe, of something good. It's just a beautiful, you know, a nice white dove. They're used for different things. But, so that's what Jonah's name means. And Jonah's father's name meant the truth of God. And so Jonah was the son of a man that knew God. And he, you know, God desires that all men serve him. And so the book of Jonah, in the biggest, big part of it, shows us the emphasis of God's love to all people. And Israel was God's chosen people, the ones that God called Abraham, and he told Abraham that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He didn't want to just bless Israel and have them be his personal people, you might say. This was his favorites, and he wasn't going to do much with the rest of the nations around. But through Abraham, he wanted to bring the message of God's salvation to the whole world, everyone, even Gentiles like us. And so here was Jonah in a godly kingdom, you might say, but they had turned away from God. They were doing evil things, and God wanted to use him. And so we're going to read this and point out some things and see if we can find some truths for ourselves as we go through here. I don't have the exclusives on the life of Jonah here at all, but I just want to point out some things and encourage us to look at our own lives and see, where am I? What is God doing in my life? What is he wanting me to do? Is this what my life looks like? And do I need to make better choices? Does God want me to choose to do, is he telling me to do more than what I'm already doing? Is he asking me to go a little further than what I'm willing to do, like we see Jonah doing? So let's read Jonah 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea was ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We're going to stop there for just a little bit. You know, God's message to Jonah was that he should go and tell the people in Nineveh to repent. I believe. And that struck fear in his heart. Jonah knew that was the right thing for him to do, but he turned and went down. He got up and went the opposite direction, we might say. He wandered away from that. He went from the presence of the Lord, verse 3, and he went down to Joppa. He found a ship, and he paid the price thereof, and he went down into it, and he fell asleep. You know, he was quite convinced that he was okay to do this, I believe. And I believe sometimes we get so into what we're doing that when we get a call to do what we really don't want to do, we tend to be just like Jonah. We can become comfortable in the things that we have decided to do and go right on doing it. And so God saw him. He knew what Jonah was doing, and he knew that he had some work to do on Jonah. And I believe God was bringing this storm into his life because he needed to bring Jonah back around. Now, we can read this story in a couple different ways. We can say, well, that was quite a ride, quite a journey he was on. But let's be careful that we don't just look from outside and make our own little opinions and keep ourselves protected from what God wants to tell us. And so it took other people to, God used these men in the ship to speak to Jonah. Jonah was the one that had that message of truth. He was the one that actually knew better. These men were simply running the boat. You know, they were trying to transport goods from one city to another. But they were familiar with the seas. They knew what could happen out there, and here was a big storm. But they were afraid. And they were calling on their gods. They were hoping that it wasn't each of them individually that was causing this great storm. And here they remembered, hey, there's this other man. What happened to him? Where'd he go? And they went and found Jonah. And there he was down there sleeping in this tremendous storm. And they asked him a few questions. Who are you? Kind of reminded me of the thoughts that Conrad had this morning. Who are you, and who is your God? Call on your God. Maybe your God will bring us to safety. Maybe he can do something. Because these men in this story didn't know. They didn't know the true God. They were calling on their gods. But here was Jonah. And so he was willing to speak the truth. He admitted that he was running from God. He was going away from God, from the presence of the Lord that made heaven and earth, the dry land and the sea, which put even more fear in these men's life. But yet God used these ungodly men to bring a message to Jonah that he needed to hear. And sometimes I believe God wants to humble us. He wants to bring us around and show us what kind of a vessel we are. Not as sanctified as what I thought it was and what I know I should be. And so we have to bow ourselves before God, come humbly to Him, and allow these men to help us. Allow other people to help us to come back to God, where God can use us in an effective way. And so these men prayed to God. They asked Jonah, first of all, what should we do with you? What's it going to take? And I understand that these men, as heathen as they might have been, they understood the value of life, of one man's life. You know, here was Jonah. They could have looked at Jonah and said, "You know, you're causing us a lot of problems. We're just gonna do what you said, throw you overboard." But they had a fear of God in their life for one man. They didn't want to be guilty of throwing the wrong person overboard, or of doing evil in the sight of the God of heaven and earth, the one that created life. And so they carefully proceeded. They cast lots, and yes, the lot fell on Jonah. And then they cried out to God and asked Him to be gracious to them and to not cause them, or that they would not be doing the wrong thing by putting Jonah overboard. I think that's a challenge to us, to me, that every life matters. Every person in this room, every person in the world. But we need to bring it down to, you know, none of us can preach a message or tell everyone in the world about Jesus. But we can tell the person beside us. And we can help the ones that are right around us. The choices we make are going to make a difference. And so, here we are. Jonah gets thrown overboard. And what happened? The God that created the sea and the dry land, like Jonah said, He calmed the storm. But He also had a plan for Jonah. He wasn't, I believe Jonah knew, or in his understanding, that being thrown overboard meant that he was going to lose his physical life. He would be drowned shortly after, or maybe ate by sharks. But God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And that brings us to chapter 2. Actually, there was one more thing I wanted to take note of. That fish that God prepared for Jonah, Jonah had no idea that he was going to live any longer. And that's the thing that I think we want to remember about this. The Jonah story is a beautiful picture of God's grace, His mercy on everyone, and He also had mercy on Jonah. And He prepared that fish. Chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. For Thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas and the floods, compassed me about. All Thy billows and Thy waves passed over me. Then said I, I am cast out of Thy sight, yet I will look again toward Thy holy temple. The waters passed me about, compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. We're going to stop there for just a moment. Another thing that I believe God is telling us here in this book is that we all need repentance. Jonah needed repentance. Today, every one of us needs repentance. We need to realize that God is still sovereign. He is God, all-powerful. He can have us... He can save us by from the seas by creating a fish that will swallow us up. And here we see how that God spared Jonah's life by that fish, using that fish. He told it to do what it did. And I believe it was an unusual and only a once in creation that I know of, that that a fish has ever swallowed a man whole and brought them back to dry ground after 3 days and three nights. It seems here in chapter 2 that this is what it took. Jonah was conscious at least part of the time. He remembers what God had told him to go to Nineveh. But he turned and went the other way, and God brought him back to himself. He brought him back to where he could think, into a situation where his own way looked hopeless. It was completely at a dead end. Being thrown overboard in the midst of a wild storm on the sea, no one thinks of being saved from that. And here was Jonah at the bottom of the sea. And he could, from there, he could think more clearly about what God wanted for him. And he became willing to worship God and to do as God wanted him to do. And so I guess I just want us to think about sometimes my ways, our ways, look pretty, you know, we can think of attractive things to do and things that would feel a lot better, or we'd like to, you know, we could enjoy doing this much better than what we know God wants us to do. But if we go against what we know God wants us to do, it will end in not so good of a situation. And so God wants to, sometimes he does things, he brings things into our life so that we can remember him. That we can turn our focus onto him and see and hear him, hear his voice, and make us willing to give thanks for what he does for us and to desire to do what he wants us to do. So we have Jonah back on the dry land after he was down there in that miserable situation, weeds wrapped around his head, how he could survive in that big fish is beyond natural, and it's beyond something that happens every day by any means. And God can perform miracles that that we don't understand, and we don't necessarily have to know exactly how it all worked. But the one thing that I want to want us to really focus on is that if it wasn't for the grace of God, Jonah would have died. And if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, I would not be here. I could not be a sanctified vessel and worth anything to God other than, you know, God, on the other hand, in time, while be as in the time and the day that we live in, each and every one of us has the same value to God. And just like in this chapter, in this story, the people of Nineveh were in the depths of sin. They didn't know God. Yet God was merciful, and he wanted them to hear about him. And that's where you and I have been. We have been without God. We have gone our own way, and yet God is calling us, and he uses different ways to speak to us, and he uses different people around us to bring us a message. And are we hearing that? Am I hearing that? Am I willing to repent, to change my ways in order to align them with, allow God to work in my life? So Jonah's back on dry land, and I'm sure that he cleaned up, or else God cleaned him up when he came out onto dry land there. But what a picture. We have him, he was saved. His life was spared, and here he was. Chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Nineveh, like we mentioned, was a wicked city. It was an evil place with high walls. I believe it was between 30 and 50 feet is what their height of their walls were. It was an intimidating place to get to. For one man, Nineveh was, quite a job for Jonah to go there and to start speaking to these thousands of people. But God made a way for him. The second time, Jonah was willing to go, and he went. He went a day's journey, and he preached. 40 days. He gave them the notice that destruction is sure to come unless you repent. And I'm not sure that he did he even tell them they needed to repent. He just warned them of the destruction to come. And these people believed God and proclaimed a fast. From the least of them, from the greatest of them to the least of them. So it started, somehow the king got word. And I'm not sure if Jonah went down to the palace, but somehow the king heard. And he believed. And that's the difference. Accepting the message that God has for us, the message of the need of repentance, is to everyone. It's to all of us. There isn't any of us that is good enough in our own selves. We were not born into a pure enough family or a good enough lineage or family name that we didn't need repentance. Everyone needs that. And unless we do as the people of Nineveh did here, we too have that notice that the end will be soon, and we will be without mercy, be destroyed without mercy. And I like the king's encouragement to his people. He said, he proclaimed a fast, and they put sackcloth on them. That was the true sign of repentance, of stopping what you're doing. The king took his robe off. He led by example, and he sat in sackcloth, and he asked everyone, man and beast, to stop. And in verse 9, he says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And I'd like to read verse 10, changing the pronouns here. And God saw my works, that I turned from my evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto me, and he did it not. You know, when we come before God in humility and we accept the message that he's giving us, and we're willing to allow him to be Lord of our life, then God will repent. We have that promise. Today we have that promise that he will become our Savior, not just our judge. He will save us. He will come in and make his throne in our hearts. So let's be the kind of Jonah that God can use. We're not done. Jonah's got another chapter here, 11 more verses. Let's read verse 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" You know, it's embarrassing to have something like this said about you. You know, here was Jonah. He had preached in Nineveh. They repented. And I guess, looking at chapter 4, it seems that Jonah just didn't really believe that these people were going to move off of there, from their wicked ways. He was going to see God rain fire or something. He was going to destroy that city. And he wanted to see what God was going to do to them. And yet God was doing a mighty work of repentance in their city. And God changed his, you know, he repented. He was a gracious God. God was who he said he was. And he kept his word. And Jonah was angry. He said he was very angry. And isn't that a picture of our carnal hearts at times? You know, we know that we need to speak good things. But deep down, am I really wishing that that person would be saved? And am I willing to help them to be an avenue for God to bring life into their life, bring salvation into their life? Or am I wishing that God would just take them out of my way? Nineveh was a threat to Israel. And maybe they were causing Israel to some of the sin that they were involved in. Nonetheless, God was gracious and merciful to them, and he is merciful to us today. And so, as we go about our life, let's not be angry and disappointed when God uses other people and he blesses them for their repentance. Let's rejoice with them. Let's be, let's see God at work, and allow God to work in and through us to be who God wants us to be. So just a few more things about Jesus and Jonah's life. There's some parallels that we have in the New Testament. Jesus himself spoke about Jonah in Matthew 12:40-41. It says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." You know, are we like the Jews were in Jesus' day? We have the Bible. We can read about Jesus and we can pick to read what we want to hear. But are we understanding the message that God has for us? Am I willing to repent and live a life of repentance? Or are the people of Nineveh going to be condemning my life? You know, Jonah was in that whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights, and Jesus also was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, but he rose again, and through him we can have repentance and salvation. And because Jonah was willing to go into Nineveh and give them that message that they would be destroyed. Because of that, there was a great salvation in the city of Nineveh there, and God today continues to do his work. It's not about the message that it's not about what I can do, but it's what God wants to do through me and through you. We can't save anyone, but we can sure tell them about who can save them. And so let's be willing to do that. In Luke 11, verse 28, Jesus said, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. You know, God can use people that don't want to be used by him. That's another point that we see here in Jonah's life. Jonah was practically driven to Nineveh against his own will. His grudging message still struck home with the Assyrians. And the work of repentance and revival are the work of God's Holy Spirit. Our duty is to proclaim his message and live in obedience to his word. And God alone is a compassionate God, and he reserves the right to love and forgive anyone that will call on him in faith and repentance, faith and obedience. So what would my life story read if I would obey God on the first call to walk with him? What would my life story read if I would obey God when he asked me to witness to someone? And what is he going to have to work a great work in our time to bring us around and make us willing to speak for him, to follow him? I trust that we can be blessed by the life of Jonah, that we can cast ourselves on God, see ourselves there in the bottom of that ship, and there is absolutely no way that we can make anything of our lives unless we humble ourselves before God and cast ourselves into his hands and allow him to use us the way he wants to. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.